Cleve Barnes back in the house. Hi.
Hello, Phil.
All right, then. You're all TV'd up now. Steve's been off learning how to be a presenter.
A television presenter at Pinewood Studios last
Pinewood
week.
Pinewood Studios. I saw the picture you put up, and it's really old-fashioned, isn't it?
So it's a great place, actually, 007 stage set. And,
really?
Yeah, and where we were doing the training itself, the movie Gravity, the guy that won the Oscar for the animation and graphics in that is in the office next door, the facility next door.
God, it's
great stuff,
isn't it?
Rubbing shoulders with the rich and famous.
But the things like this are brilliant, because whatever you learn officially is nothing to what you just take away as an inspiration or an experience, is it?
Well, that's right, yeah. And I was surrounded by a lot of really interesting and talented people, and I've never been in that kind of rarefied environment before. So, yeah, I picked up some really interesting skills, and we launched Visa Giza TV later this year.
Oh, well done. Congratulations in advance. We're going to talk about what we do here. Is Steve's been coming for several years, and as I said earlier, if you've just, for instance, just turned up in Hong Kong and you're getting some itchy problems with your visa or your partner's visa, this, that and the other, real simple stuff to Steve. Drop us a line. It's morningbrew@rthk.hk, and I pretty much guarantee you he'll have a swift answer for you. The Hong Kong Immigration Department really are getting tougher across the board. Not the border. The board now.
That's true, and I blogged about this a little bit earlier this week. It's been 21 years since I've been doing this, and all throughout that time people have asked me, you know, repeatedly, is it getting tougher, is it getting harder, what's it all about?
And for who?
Yeah, and I've always said, no, it isn't really. It's just the Immigration Department will always give you the right result if you're worthy of that particular result. And that's still very, very much the same, but I've noticed a trend in the way that cases are being processed and administered. Over the last few months to suggest the Immigration Department are generally tightening up across the board. Okay, a really, really good example is that effectively for the last 6 or 7 months, every investment visa that we've had approved has been subject to business review. And what that means is at the end of the first year of them having undertaken their business, in order for them to get an extension, the Immigration Department will want to look back at what's happened commercially to them during the first 12 months that they held that visa to be satisfied that they're still worthy of holding that visa for the next period of stay that they're applying to extend to.
And these people typically came from where?
Well, they're foreign nationals from sort of every country, really, that have wanted to establish a joint in a business in Hong Kong, or they may have been existing residents working for somebody else who've decided that they want to sort of take advantage of their entrepreneurial seizure and start to go into business for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make the application to the Immigration Department for the approvals to join in or establish those businesses, at the moment the Immigration Department are kind of saying, well, yes, all right, after due consideration, of course, but we're going to subject you to business review at the end of 12 months just to see whether you're still worthy of it.
Do you think?
Let
me ask you an elephant in the room question.
On,
do you
yeah.
think people from other countries in the world are paying the price because of the influx of mainland people and businesses?
I don't think there's any connection, really. I don't think there's any connection. I think that we've had a very, very large number of investors coming into Hong Kong from Europe recently because things haven't been great over there.
Right.
I suspect that the overall numbers have increased to the extent that the Immigration Department have felt that they just need to tighten up more generally across the board to monitor what is happening after the approvals are given to an extent.
It doesn't matter necessarily what kind of business, provided it's a good money earner.
Yeah, think of it that way. If they can create local jobs and if they're homed in suitable business premises and they've got the resources to be successful in their enterprise to the extent that their business will go on to become a solidly entrenched commercial enterprise, the Immigration Department will usually give them visas. Not only have we seen sort of a tightening up in terms of business review, but overstayers, it used to be that if you inadvertently overstayed for 1 or 2 days, and still the case, then you can easily sort of unravel those problems with the Immigration Department.
That depends who you are, Steve. Our jails are full of so-called overstayers from South and Southeast Asia.
Possibly. But what I'm seeing now is that if you're more than just a few days overstaying, the Immigration Department are really looking to see, you know, what the root cause for the overstay was and investigating with a view to gathering evidence, possibly for prosecution. But they're making it a lot tougher. I mean, I've always countenanced that your immigration status is absolutely sacrosanct. And you know, you do not overstay in any circumstances. Some people inadvertently overstay.
You forget to pay your rent. You forget these things.
Yeah. And I've seen a couple of instances in the last month or so that lead me to suggest that the Immigration Department are not letting people out on too short of a leash these days.
Meaning what exactly? I mean, if you've got, you know, you're all above board.
A few days, one or two days inadvertently overstaying, you can sort it out with a minimum of fuss, you know, slap on the wrist, away you go. But if you're 3 or 4 weeks overstaying, then things are going to be a little bit different.
So. Typically, what will they do?
Well, normally what they do is they call you in for interview and they gather evidence as to see what the reasons was for the overstay, what you've been doing in the meantime, has there been any other breach of conditions of stay, is it worthy of prosecuting these individuals for, you know, their transgressions and the like. So, I mean, that's always been the law, but I'm just starting to see the Immigration Department tightening up and being a little bit less lenient than they have been historically.
Well, I mean, you could say they're doing their job. I wonder where the directive has come from.
Well, it's come from upstairs, obviously.
For what reason? Yeah. I mean, you can only assume. Don't think issue that you're going to get.
I don't know what the Immigration Department are deciding at any given point in time, but you know, they're an arm of the Security Bureau, and clearly they have a mandate to ensure that law is fully implemented. And the great thing about Hong Kong immigration is the essential flexibility that the immigration ordinance avails to the department to do their thing. But in the day-to-day administration of their duties, they have clearly the opportunity to tighten up in certain areas if they so wish. And if they've been a tad relaxed, it's usually been for administrative efficiency purposes. But it may well be that they've decided it's time to come down stronger now, and you know, and that's fine.
You can see the sort of thing we're talking about. If you've got any questions for Steve, drop me a line. morningbrew@rthk.hk. So it's not just personal stuff, it's actually business stuff as well. And I note, Steve, that investment visas is now a 6-month process instead of 4. It's all part and parcel of what you're talking about.
Yeah, because the influx of
it's a long time, Steve.
Europeans. We have a lot of French nationals that are they're coming to Hong Kong and adding value to our society these days. All of them will need immigration status of one kind or another, and certainly a large number of them are bringing capital and they're investing into Hong Kong, and they're all making applications for business investment visas. And consequently, whilst I can't definitively state that it's down to the French, there's certainly the case that there's so many cases being administered by the that particular division of the Immigration Department, that is the Business Investment Visa Division, that the processing times have kicked out from 4 to 6
months. Well, instead of making the punters wait, why don't they get more staff? He said naively.
Yeah, well, there you go. Why don't you invite the Director of Immigration and ask him, Phil?
You know what's in the news this morning? The news yesterday, rather, was that the government's coming under fire from the Audit Commission for taking far too long in recruiting civil servants.
Is that right?
And then they're all going off to the private sector.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
So I wonder, you know, 2 and 2, 22.
I mean, the only comment I've got on that last remark that you made is that I've just recently had a lady join my team who was 14 years with Immigration Department, so she moved from public to private.
And I bet she got a job a lot quicker with you.
I have no comment about that. I don't know what the recruitment exercises are. No,
apparently it's all out there. They're taking
through
a long time. So,
is
you know,
right,
bureaucratic soup. Let's face it, 4 months and 6 months. That's 8 more weeks.
Is that civil service across the board or any particular department?
That's the civil service across the board.
Okay, interesting.
According to our news, which has to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, RTHK. Yeah.
But does that make, usually when you go and apply for something, you know it's going to take a while. So if you satisfy yourself, okay, I'm not going to hear from these guys for 2 months, fine. So the difference between 4 and 6 weeks, what realistic difference?
4 and 6 months, you mean?
Excuse me,
yeah. It just means you have to wait that much longer, that's all. Sleepless nights for another few weeks, and we tend to have to entertain, you know, a large number of phone calls asking if there's been any updates in their application, and obviously if we don't have anything to report, we don't have anything to report. But yeah, you just have to wait, sit tight, that's all. I mean, the guys at the Immigration Department do a really, really good job, you know.
You've been saying that for 10 years, Steve.
But it's true, you know, you can't deny it.
Do you agree with him?
Which other immigration agency in Southeast Asia do you know that's even half as efficient as ours? They're the crown jewel in immigration agencies. And I have connections with Australia as well, believe you me. The Australian immigration are an absolute nightmare. You know, anyone that's had any... Excuse me. Anyone that's had any dealings with the Japanese immigration agencies know
full
well.
What do they do typically?
Well, it's just very bureaucratic, and you've got to appear in person the whole time, and there's a lot of sort of forelock tugging and scraping. or China. Have you ever had anybody in here that's gone through the process of securing immigration status in China to live there?
No.
Well, I can tell you, even though we don't practice it, anecdotally, I know what it's all about.
And coughing up the right amount of dough.
And our Wan Chai's finest are. are an excellent regime compared to what you find north of the boundary and elsewhere throughout the region.
The thing that cracks me up, I mean, I've travelled around a little bit recently, and the thing that cracks me up is you go to some countries and you have to pay for a visa, which you're guaranteed to get the minute you get off the plane. What a scam!
Well, that's just a revenue-raising exercise.
What a scam!
Everyone knows what that's all about. But you've just been to the United States, I understand.
Yeah.
So what was your experience passing through US immigration, Phil?
Man, I'll tell you this, Steve.
Yeah.
You've just reminded me.
Right.
A massive, massive queue at the inward immigration. I'm talking an hour in an inward immigration queue at Las Vegas Airport, at Los Angeles Airport.
Yeah.
And then the guy really, and he asks you trick questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, nice enough fellas, but boy, oh boy, don't cross them.
Right.
And they ask you trick questions. He says to me, so what part of Scotland were you born in? I'm like, aha, nice, good one, good one. But he wasn't joking.
Right.
And then, you know, all sorts of little tricky questions.
Right.
You know, I think their job has become a lot more complicated.
Well, and, you know, thinking about the last time you passed through Hong Kong immigration, what was that experience
well,
like?
Well, I've got a permanent ID card. Well, bye-bye.
Indeed. But, you know, you can be a regular visitor to Hong Kong and you can get an arrangement where you can pass through immigration in exactly the same speed as you did pass through as a permanent resident.
Oh, it's always nice to come back to Hong Kong.
Believe
and
me.
And have you noticed, nobody wants to go through the manned things because it's always fun to put your card in the machine. By the way, tell me what you think about... this is a nice little cool thing if you're a permanent ID card holder. You can do this in Macau, but you have to register, don't you, when you get off the boat? Do you know about that?
You mean when you just present your ID, your permanent ID, when you get off?
Instead of going straight to the to the ticket booth, you go to a little office and you say, I now want to register to have that card machine thing in Macau.
And then you can pass through. I haven't been to Macau
for
ages.
So that's worth doing, because that could be a nightmare.
Yeah, no, I haven't been from Macau for ages. Because historically, you just travel with your permanent ID card, and then you fill in the ED for the embarkation disembarkation form.
You can now step around it. Worth doing, especially when it's, you know, holidays and gambling days and this, that and the other. You just go through and put your card on the machine.
Phil, I think you should be my first guest on Visa Geezer TV, and I'll interview on that very experience.
Well, I've not done it myself.
Oh, I see.
I will do. No, the thing is, I always remember when I've gone through immigration.
Right.
And it's too late, but that's worth it. Also in the States, tons of security stuff. They've got little cameras on there, and they actually manoeuvre it at your face.
Yeah.
Fingerprints, this, that, and the other. So each person probably takes about 2 minutes, and that 3 minutes, that's quite a long time when you've got a massive queue.
Especially when you get off a flight of 12 hours and you're absolutely exhausted, you just want to get where you need to go.
And then everywhere you go in a United States airport, take off your belt, you know, your colostomy bag, whatever, chuck it all on the thing, take off your shoes. So basically, for very, very obvious reasons, the job of one customs guy to you has just increased exponentially.
Yeah, it just makes you realise how good we've got it here. We take it for granted, scooting in and scooting out, right?
Crossing
international borders, we don't even think about it.
I suppose we do. Couple more minutes with Steve. It's Morning Brew at rthk.hk. What drew you? On Steve's blog, he's written a whole thing about the customs guys here, the immigration guys here, sort of upping their game, essentially. Just check him out, Hong Kong Visa Geezer with an A.com. What drew you to this one? Have you had customers complaining?
No, it's just my observations over the course of the last few months. As I mentioned...
Because you've travelled a lot, or...?
No, just because client matters that come across my desk, and I'm understanding how cases are being administered, and we're having to work harder these days. That's what it kind of boils down to. And the clients, our clients themselves, are having to deal with the ramifications of what I generally perceive to be a tightening up.
For whatever reason, assumptions that Hong Kong's population is growing seriously, we're getting bursting point. Is that probably one of the reasons why they're being more fiddly about stuff?
No, I think it still relates to security and control, and ensuring that the foreign national community, the new arrivals, if you will, the most recent temporary residents, last 2 or 3 years, are properly being monitored after they've been granted the initial approvals to ensure that they are compliant with the original rationale for them being granted the approval in the first place.
Okay. Well, that's all we've got time for today, Steve. As I say, HongKongVisaGeezer.com, it's all there. You get into some pretty interesting areas. I think you've created a monster. Well, Pinewood's created a monster. But the funny thing is, you went with Chef Jason Black. Now that I've got to see.
He's a natural in front of the TV camera, and he's going to produce some really interesting TV shows here, all on the internet, of course. So there's an audience for this stuff,
and
no one is actually producing decent content for
it.
So why not?
All right, Steve. Well, thanks very much for coming, and we'll have a chat in a few weeks' time. Take care.